Could I give his full name on the air? Hey, this is Bob Enyart. The show didn't begin yet, but one of our listeners from Indiana, Wayne G., has just said he will match dollar for dollar everything that comes in today up till midnight toward our goal of $40,000. That's incredible. Wayne, thank you so very much. And for our listeners, please help if you possibly can. It's doubled, and we just might reach our goal of $40,000.
One in morning is truth of the head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Enyart Live.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. On today's show, Alex Jones still being sued. The lawsuits against him are working their way through the courts, and I'm so happy. It brings me so much pleasure to see him kicked off of countless internet platforms and being sued for the hateful slash mentally ill things that he's promoted, including that Obama, remember this, purchased over a billion bullets for the total collapse of the country to use against the public. Remember that? I remember that. KGov.com/Alex Jones, put a hyphen between them. And that the Sandy Hook massacre of the first graders, that never happened. And the parents there suing him and an FBI agent who was on the scene. So it just brings me so much joy. So I want to talk a bit about that. Also, going on 30 years now of being on the air, we have said that our form of government in America is the most divisive of any form of government ever used by nations. And over the years, now once in a while, reality hits and it hits hard, like at 9/11, like Pearl Harbor and so on. And that tends to bring people together, but often for a short time, and then the nation continues on its path of neighbor hating neighbor, brother hating brother, children hating parents because of the political disagreements. Also, I want to talk about Google. If you Google men can, you know how it auto completes? Men space can space. Then we've taken a screenshot of the results and we put it on our website, kgov.com/homosexuality. So you might want to see that. kgov.com/homos for short, an abbreviation. And it's just too much. It's just so. I mean, this is the world that we live in. And then also a listener of Bob Enyart Live over the years, he published an article this weekend, 7 Biblical Principles About Immigration, basically disagreeing with the conservative push against illegal immigration. And I'd like to give just a quick reaction to that, my initial reaction to the article. So those are the things we want to talk about. Our telethon, the goal for the month of September, this is the last day, September 30th. And I thank God and I thank you guys so much. We've broken $30,000. Our vital goal of $40,000 is still looming out there. But what an honor. We air on a single radio station, Denver's AM 670. KLTT, 50,000 watts. So we're only on one radio station. It's not like we're on hundreds. And so it's an honor to be supported and for all these years now, decades, but at $30,400. And Doug McBurney, who's traveling, Doug called me and said, Bob, I can't be there, but I'd like to give a $1,000 matching grant. $1,000 matching offer, so that what that means is we could be at $32,000 if somebody matches Doug's gift. Doug, you're too much. Doug McBurney is one of the many who've been helping with this program for decades. Doug doing above and beyond what any friend, coworker would ever be called on to do. And when people support the show, they volunteer for the show like Doug does, and then they donate on top of that, it's very humbling. So, Doug, thank you. If somebody could match that, 1-800-8-NYART is our phone number. Of course, you could do it online, too, kgov.com, or 1-800-836-9278. That spells out NYART. 1-800-836-9278. All right, what to begin with? How about Google? If you Google, like you're going to Google a sentence, men can what? Men can protect their families, men can provide, men can lead in worship, men can whatever it might be. But here I'm going to, I could do it on Google right now, but we have just done it. So I'm going to go to kgov.com/homosexuality. And right at the top of the article, that's our main page on the sin and the danger of homosexuality. And we have the list, the authoritative list of what the Bible says to condemn this sin as one of the worst sins. But we have now the screenshot right near the top, and you could see it's in my browser, open on my computer, kgov.com, Real Science Radio, American Right to Life, and the tabs across the top. And then I'm on Google's webpage, google.com, and there's the search bar, and I type men, space, can, space, and then they want to autocomplete. They want to guess what you're trying to write. And they suggest men can have babies. Men can get pregnant. Men can think about nothing. Men can have babies now. Men can menstruate. Men can, I mean, they're mentally ill, but of course they are. When you reject God, what you're headed to is utter ignorance and a total meltdown of what it means to be a successful human being. So Google is calling the shots in the long war against God currently. And so, of course, we expect insanity from them, and that's what we get. Now, as for our form of government here in America being the most divisive form of government, conservatives like to say that we don't have a democracy, we have a Republican form of government. And that's mostly just a feel-good thing that they tell themselves. Because back when the Constitution was ratified, the president, you didn't vote for the president. You didn't vote for the Senate, the public. The public didn't vote for the executive branch, didn't vote for half of the legislative branch, the Senate. And it was these two unelected parts of the federal government, the executive branch and the Senate, that decided on the judiciary, right? The unelected president. Now we had the Electoral College, and so each state would decide who the electors would be that they would send to the Electoral College, and the Electoral College would then choose the president. But how did they come up with the electors? Well, the electors were chosen by the senators of each state. And it's so interesting, we also didn't vote for the senators. There wasn't a public vote for them. And the Constitution even said you could amend the Constitution, but not the place of the choosing of the senators. So what did we do? We changed the place of the choosing of the senators so that people, democracy, people would vote for the senators, and then people would vote for the president directly. And so then these two now democratic institutions would give us the judiciary. So America became overwhelmingly a democracy rather than a republic, but we're only fooling ourselves when we think there's a big difference. Because in a democracy, if you want to kill unborn children, then the people could vote for a law that says, let's kill unborn children. And then they do. In a representative republic, then the people, if they want to kill unborn children, they elect representatives who pass the law that says you can kill unborn children, and then they do. So there's not much difference. A representative republic is like a slowed down version of raw democracy. It's a kissing cousin. A republic is a kissing cousin of democracy. And in January, Lord willing, we'll be publishing. Now, again, we started in 2000. We put on the internet our proposed constitution for America. We took it down because it's so controversial and we didn't want it to distract from our other battles, trying to protect unborn children, trying to warn people about homosexuality, fighting against government schools, our godless government schools, against abortion and so on, for marriage. And so this time, I think, when we put, so we put it up on in the year 2000 so that our audience could see it, and then we took it down. Then we put it back up in the year 2005 and took it down intentionally. Put it up 2010, took it down. 2015, took it down. Now in 2020, I think we might leave it up. Just leave it online. The Bobinert Live proposed constitution for America. But the form of government that we have is the most divisive in the history of mankind. Guaranteed to cause millions of people to hate one another over the question of who their leaders will be. And when the leaders do something terrible, if it's a Republican in office, then the Democrats expose it and the Republicans defend it. And if it's a Democrat in office, then the Republicans expose it and the Democrats defend it. And they do this regarding the exact same behaviors, identical behaviors. Something about impeachment, you go back, see when we're trying to impeach a Democrat, and you could just swap the Republicans for the Democrats. And as you could count on them to say the identical things in opposition to what they're saying right now. So democracy, representative republics, these are the most divisive forms of government. And every so often when reality hits and we do come together somewhat as a nation, as a culture, it's typically for a relatively short time. And then we continue down that immoral and divisive slide toward utter misery. And look where we're at right now when we've had on the air for decades, we've dealt with so many Christian leaders wrongly praising our form of government, wrongly, and acting what? Could they be that ignorant and that naive about where it's all headed, about where the tolerance of homosexuality would head, to where you can practically not be a Christian in the public square? Homosexuality and biblical Christianity are mutually exclusive in the public square. You'll be fired from many jobs in America, most of our major employers, if it's known that you think that God made us male and female, and you think that marriage is between a man and a woman, and you think that homosexuality is wrong. It's perverse. You could say goodbye to your paycheck. Because homosexuality and Christianity are mutually exclusive. Anyway, so much of our Christian leadership has been AWOL on basic morality and on any kind of insightful wisdom of what's going on. They've just been apologists for our form of government and our actions in the world today at this moment, this snapshot. Oh, this is what God wants of us. He wants us to elect another Republican, because then we'll have elected like 98,000 Republicans, and you know how they've done wonders for the country so far. So we have the most divisive form of government. It's absolutely devastating. Oh, hey, I just got a note. Shout out to David W. in Ohio. David, thank you. Businessman in Ohio, Eastern Ohio, thank you so very much. And Douglas K. right here in Colorado, Douglas K. And that Douglas, I think there's a Jenna associated with that Douglas there, right? Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you so much, guys. So encouraging. All right. So then Alex Jones. Alex Jones is paranoid. He's mentally ill. And the Christians who affirm him, We all need to guard our mental health. Just like we're to take care of our physical health, we need to guard our mental health. That's even more important than your physical health, your mental and spiritual health. And when you ingest paranoia, mental illness, with the kinds of conspiracy absurdities of an Alex Jones, you're harming yourself and you're hurting your credibility with people around you who are not Christian. And then you repeat some of the stupidity of Alex Jones, and your friends and relatives, they figure, well, you know, we really love so-and-so, but so-and-so is a nut. And then when so-and-so says, well, the Bible's God's word, you have to believe in Jesus for salvation, they think, well, this is the same nut who thinks that Alex Jones is right. So Doug McBurney and I, we did a show, 10 years ago about when Alex Jones went on the air and exposed that the federal government was buying 1.6 billion bullets. And they were the terrible kinds of bullets, the kind that kill people. How's that? And conservatives lapped this stuff up, the conservative nuts that are a part of his audience. And they were doing it to prepare for the total collapse of the country, and they're going to use the bullets against the people. And so he's a mental case. And he brings shame to the gospel of Jesus Christ to the extent that Christians listen to his insanity, and even worse, when they repeat some of it. And so what? Obama missed his chance. He had over a billion bullets, and he let them all go to waste because he didn't gun down the masses. Isn't that something? And 9/11 is an inside job, and all the insanity, we list it on our website, kgov.com/Alex-Jones. And Christians have said, well, Bob, if they kick Alex Jones off of YouTube, off of Facebook, off of, you know, and we've been dissed by the best, so kgov.com/dissed is our list of when we've been dissed. So we've been dissed here by the best too, the IRS and Google and YouTube and everybody. But they've said, Bob, if they kick Alex Jones off, well then don't complain when they come to kick Bob and Your Live off. And do you realize how wrong that argumentation is? Alex Jones is guilty of bearing false witness against his neighbor. He's guilty of libel and slander, and add to that his paranoia and mental illness and conspiracy insanity. And so when he said, now he's retracted on this, he would interview experts who pointed out on his show that the Sandy Hook massacre was a hoax. It never happened. And the parents who were grieving the loss of their children, they were actors. They were faking it. They were in on it. And that is so despicable. And then because his audience includes more than its proportion of people who are mentally ill also, then what? Then the parents, they get death threats, they get harassed, and so on. So they're dealing with their grief of having a child slaughtered. And they got to deal with this garbage, insanity, libel, slander, threats that come from the lies that he tells that are expected to come. They could be, they're predictable. And so I'm thrilled he's being sued, and I hope he gets kicked off of every conceivable platform. And if Bob and Your Live gets kicked off, well, we have been kicked off of plenty of platforms. But you do right and you risk the consequences. You do right. I don't want to have a better chance of being on the air at the cost of defending someone for violating God's commandments. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. That's too high of a price to pay for a better chance of staying on the air. So we've said for 30 years on this show, do right and risk the consequences. All right, now immigration. One of our listeners wrote an article, 7 Biblical Principles About Immigration. And we do have the brightest audience in the country, so we'd expect a lot, right? And sure enough, it's a pretty good article bringing out, I think, important points from the scriptures that conservative Christians need to be reminded about, but yet I think to some degree it misses the mark. All right, his seven biblical principles, I'll just give you his headlines, that Israel was forbidden from oppressing immigrants, that Israel was commanded to provide food for all the poor immigrants within her borders, that immigrants were to be under the same law and have most of the same rights as citizens, okay, that God gives immigrants the same level of care that he gives to orphans and widows, that both of the examples of denying entry to immigrants in the Bible were condemned by the Edomites and the Amorites, that God sees integration and birthright citizenship as a good thing, and that there was no distinction between legal and illegal immigrants in Israel. Okay, so now I've only quickly scanned this article, but I've been reading the Bible, read it through a number of times over, and so I'm very familiar with the scriptures that are quoted. But I think the article overlooks that the law for Israel is not to be automatically and completely applied to other nations. Israel had a national covenant with God. Now, the Lord started out with the command to the nation that they take all those who were not Israelites and kill them all. That's how it started. So I don't think that that's what's being advocated here, right, in this article. So what that does help us to remember, it reinforces the fact that God's commands to Israel were not all to be applied to other nations. The criminal code within the Mosaic law, the moral criminal code, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor, that's perjury, thou shalt not covet, goes to showing motive in a criminal trial. This is the foundation of a criminal code, and it is applicable to all nations up to this very moment. But there were many laws that God gave to Israel that are not applicable, and one of them is, when you go into the land, kill everybody who's there. Aren't you glad that that's not currently applicable? And who would it be applicable to? I mean, in Hawaii, King Kamehameha, he goes onto the other islands and he kills everybody who's there. And then America, we go into Hawaii and then we kill everybody who's there. And then whoever, of course not. So we should be reminded that there's not a one-to-one correspondence between everything happening in Israel that should be the law of the government in the nations round about us. At some level, Israel corresponds more to the church than it does to the nation. Not at every level. At some levels, God dealt with Israel as a nation, and we look at the governmental law that nations then and now should enforce. And they are laws that the church does not have the ability to enforce. If somebody bears false witness against their neighbor, a church, the pastor and the elders, they don't have the authority to go arrest that person and try him and punish him. Don't have that authority. But there are other things that the church can do that the government cannot do. And Israel corresponds in some ways to the church, in some ways to national governments and state governments with their tribes. And as we read in the Epistle to the Hebrews in the New Testament, when the priesthood is changed, which it was because it's abolished in Jesus Christ, he's now the great high priest. So the New Testament says when the priesthood is changed, there is of necessity a change in the law, right? So there are all the eternal principles of governance that are in the Mosaic law. And then there are the principles that correspond to the church. And then there are particulars that were changed because when the priesthood is changed, there must of necessity be a change in the law. And I cover this in my life's work, an overview of the Bible called The Plot. The Plot, an overview of the Bible, is the key to its details. It's a book, and we also have it in audio form as I teach through the Bible from this overview perspective. Okay, so to start with, God commanded the Jews to kill everybody in the country that were not Israelites. And so that reminds us that we don't apply today everything that was in the Bible to government. And I think the article also accidentally exaggerates the equal treatment of foreigners in the land. Because, for example, the Jews were not to marry foreigners. Unless a foreigner became a proselyte Jew, unless they circumcised all the males in their family and they became proselyte Jews, then the Jews were not to marry them. So that's quite a distinction. In fact, becoming a circumcised proselyte Jew is somewhat analogous to our concept of legal immigration. Somewhat. I'm not saying exactly, but we can draw some insights from that. I think the author of this article also might have mistaken the gleaning when he said that the poor, the government has to provide food for the poor. I think he misunderstood the gleaning, where when you harvest your land, don't take the corners of the land. Don't go twice through the vineyard if you left some olives. If you left some grapes, if you harvest your olive tree, don't go through it again. Leave that for the poor. Well, as with the tithe law, that law of gleaning appears to be voluntary in that there was no punishment for failure to comply. And that's like in America today and in ancient Israel. The people, of course, they could voluntarily, and in God's covenant, God wanted the people to provide for the poor. But where that backfires is where it's no longer voluntary, when it's forced charity, when governments with an iron boot and a gun say, you're going to give us a lot of your income and we're going to use it for the poor. And that causes no end of tension. And then also there's this open borders interpretation where if that really were what God wanted of nations, right? In the New Testament, we read that God decrees the times and the boundaries of nations. And that's easy to misunderstand, but it's the same thing he did with families, where he defined what a family is, when a family begins, when a family ends. That doesn't mean that God picks out a woman for this man. It means the structure, the same thing with nations. Nations are real. They come in and out of existence. They actually have boundaries. And to claim that all nations should have open borders because that's what the Bible teaches, well, then they're no longer nations. In the chance that you hear at a Trump rally, I'm not a Trump supporter, but build that wall, build that wall. That could be in Nehemiah's time, build that wall, right? Building a defense against foreigners who might come to harm you. And say Russia could send a million people into Ukraine as like sleeper combatants and then just take over the nation. Iraq could do the same to Kuwait, right? Mozambique to Madagascar, China to Nepal. So these ideas, I think there's a lot of value in this article reminding Christians about God's heart toward the foreigner and the stranger, but I think it needs to be refined with a lot more biblical insight. Hey, Doug McBurney said $1,000 matching. Please, if you can, meet that, and we'll be at $32,000. God bless you guys. So, hey, this is Bob Enyard again. Doug McBurney's $1,000 matching offer, and then Wayne G. from Indiana matching dollar for dollar up till we meet our goal of $40,000. That's just incredible. Guys, you humble us. You blow us away. Thank you so very much. So please, if you possibly can, call us 800-8-ENYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. or online, kgov.com. Click on the store, and it'll all be applied. Subscriptions, books, videos, science materials, everything will be applied to the telethon up to midnight today. May God bless you guys.